Welcome to the Addiction Solution Podcast. I'm Michelle Dunbar. Enjoy listening and watching as addiction experts Mark Sheeran and I cover controversial as well as helpful topics on addiction, how to move past it, and other related subjects. As two of the co-founders of the Freedom Model, Mark and I will give you a completely new perspective on the topics that matter to you. We will take to task the Recovery Society's lies and misinformation and replace them with facts, research, and the methods to move on from addiction struggles without 12-step meetings, rehabs, and the shackles of endless recovery. Let's escape the treatment and recovery trap together and learn to be free. Welcome to the truth. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Addiction Solution. I'm Michelle Dunbar.
And I'm Mark Sheeran. And we wrote The Freedom Model for Addictions, Escape the Treatment and Recovery Trap with our colleague, Stephen Slate.
We just want to tell you quick about our solution to addiction workshops and coaching packages. Not sure everybody knows about them. They've become incredibly popular and we're having tremendous success working with people in this way. The Solution to Addiction Workshop and the Solution to PMO and Sex Addiction Workshop are both available as standalone courses. But if you want, you can combine them with our three-session coaching package that involves three sessions, 90-minute sessions with either Mark or me or a Freedom Model coach over the course of about 3 weeks. Sometimes people extend that out a little bit, but this seems to work incredibly well.
Yeah, it's very efficient. It's very effective because the workshop frames everything out so beautifully. Plus you get, what else do you get? You get three months
of the online program because there are a lot of people that struggle to read this book.
It's 470 pages. Not everybody's going to read it.
No, and not everybody needs to read the whole thing.
Right.
With the coaching package, you can meet with us. We can say, hey, I think you would benefit from looking at these chapters, watching these video lessons. That online program gives you video tutorials of the entire book. So, and we add new video lessons every single month.
That's right.
And you get to talk with us, the two of us together, on the last Wednesday of every month as well.
Right. That's in addition to the coaching session.
Yes. So that will extend out. So if your three coaching sessions are done in month one, you'd get the opportunity to talk with us in month two and month three as well. Okay. So this is a tremendous value and we really want everybody to know about it because we've had such success with it. So,
and we have that for PMO and sex addiction now too, as a standalone unit. So we have the workshop and the coaching package for substance use, and then we have it for PMO and sex addiction as well.
So you can find those at thefreedommodel.org. It's right in the menu. They're the first two options in our menu. So pick the one that you want. Or if you want to talk with us, you can call us at 888-424-2626. That first phone call with us is absolutely free, and we can help you figure out what might work best for you.
All right, everybody. Okay, so today we're going to talk about persistence. This is one of my favorite topics of all time. No matter what area of my life, it's benefited me. But I'm going to talk about some really cool things when it comes to persistence today. Things I've learned in different areas of my life and how persistence works. But before I go rambling on about things, Michelle, do you have some thoughts?
Well, I thought about this topic because I had a last coaching session with somebody last night, and moving forward, you know, when you're trying to solve an addiction per se, and you're trying to change your preference, I think there's a misunderstanding that there's going to be this necessary line in the sand where all of a sudden you're like, oh, this is easy. And for some people that does happen, but not for everyone. Sometimes what happens is it's a process, right? Of going a few days and not doing the activity and feeling pretty good about it. And then maybe you have a day where you want to do it.
Yeah, and old beliefs come to the forefront,
right? Like maybe the shit hits the fan and you're like, it's, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. Like I know people where they want to quit smoking per se, but then life gets kind of hard and they say, this is not the right time to quit smoking. Well, anytime is the right time.
Yeah. Anytime is the right time to stop doing something that's harming you.
Right. So it doesn't have to be this all or nothing thing. And that's what we talked about last night was persistence. If you continuously think, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to not do it for these benefits, right? The benefits I thought I was getting from it. And you just remind yourself and you do that every day. And then you recognize the benefits when you're not doing it.
Right.
Right. And so this will systematically shift your preference.
So let me talk a little bit about that, because I want to talk about the mechanics of what Michelle is talking about. So imagine I was looking at a video this morning of a guy that found, he was using a metal detector and he found a cannonball, but it was wrapped in rock, you know, sediment and rock. And I thought, oh my God, that's like a preference that you're changing. Mm. You have an idea that's the cannonball, this perfectly round, spherical, nice thing, but you have all this mythology. So you're trying to get to the benefits of not using, which is the cannonball, and all these other beliefs make you blind to it. And it's this rocky, miserable thing, you know, of sediment, dirt, rock, and you can't see the benefits really. So what happens is the rock is the false benefits of the cannonball. It's what blocks you from getting to the gold. And I think that a lot of times persistence is the chipping away of that rock.
What a great analogy.
Yeah. But that's really what entered my mind when I was watching this video, as he was hitting it with a hammer and then a chunk would split off and you could see this perfectly, you know, spherical,
yeah,
nice thing in the center. And I think that the value of persistence obviously is not quitting, right, at something that is seemingly difficult. Now, what makes getting rid of a problematic substance use problem or behavioral addiction problem so difficult is that the rock around that cannonball is, you really perceive that as beneficial.
That's right.
So you have this false identity of things that are benefits that aren't really benefits. And it's that lie that you tell yourself, or grouping of lies, and a lot of times unknowingly so.
That's right.
That, you know, PMOing will help me distract myself from the responsibilities of life, you know, and that's better than living out my life. Or doing heroin when my mom died was the way I coped. Was it? Did you really cope? Or did you just hide, you know, from coping? So there, what you have to do is you have to look at the rock for what it really is. And that is, that's not the cannonball. That's something that is false. It's not true. So challenging those false benefits is important. That's why we call them perceived benefits. You create the rock around the gold, and you sit there in misery, you know, hammering away. And sometimes the only way is to look at the rock and say, okay, I'm going to take a hammer out and I'm going to challenge that benefit and see if it's real. Did I really cope well when she died while I was shooting heroin? Did it
right.
actually work?
What was I self-medicating? Was this medication that actually helped me?
Right. Did it actually take away? And people say, well, yeah, it distracted me. No, you distracted yourself.
That's right.
The drug doesn't do anything. Now, unless you're passed out, unconscious, meaning your consciousness doesn't exist, if that's your goal, to be perpetually passed out.
Unconscious
and perpetually overdosed. Okay. I'll give you that medicated you. It certainly was effective. But anything barring that, you're still in control and you're giving yourself permission. So that nuance about that particular benefit, as an example, is what you have to look at adequately. That's your hammer chipping away, is truth. The truth is, wait a minute, I gave myself permission. It wasn't the heroin. Why am I giving the drug or the porn or whatever, food or whatever it is, your object of your fetish? Why am I giving that the credit, as if it has some power to actually distract me or give me this benefit, that it has some sort of sentience? Why am I doing that? And you have to be persistent at challenging your perceived bullshit.
Yes. And while you're doing that, you're also, so if you're in the process, which this person is, of changing the behavior, right? Reducing the behavior, like on a, in a systematic way. And you know, she had some abstinent days and she was like, the benefits are immediate. I can see them. So you have to simultaneously challenge the benefits. Like when you have that thought, I should go do this thing, you simultaneously challenge those benefits and recognize the benefits that you got from not doing it.
Right.
Right. And so the scales will tip. They will quite naturally tip. And, but there needs to be, if you're somebody that struggles with it, you can look at it like I'm being disciplined and all. No. Or you can look at it like, I'm figuring this out.
Yeah. So let me jump in there. That's perfect. Figuring it out. What does that mean? So we're not talking about white knuckle persistence because people will confuse it. What we're talking about is persistence in challenging perceptions.
Exactly.
I'm going to say it again. Persistence in challenging perceptions that may be wrong. Okay. And this is really important. So what does persistence give you? I'm going to give you another analogy that's really interesting. I do seminars on hunting, and I do them on the mental game of being successful out in the outdoors. And one of the things about hunting in the Northeast, and people may not know this, but it's very difficult. There's not a lot of game animals. You have some of the largest natural climax forest in the world, forever wild terrain, mountainous. It's very, very difficult. And the style of hunting we do is very difficult. So you have to have a lot of persistence. Now, I'm going to give you a lesson that I teach in my mental seminar on the mental strength and that sort of thing. So the mental game, not strength, because we all have
strength. I was just thinking that.
Yes, not about strength. So when you get to hunting and you're in it 2 weeks and you haven't seen the game you want to see and you're dragging ass and you've climbed hundreds of miles of mountains and you're exhausted and your mind thinks, you think to yourself, I'm getting further and further away from success and you want to quit. Persistence. Now, the law of probabilities is an interesting thing. The longer you're in the woods, the greater the probability of success is. As long as you're in the game, you're always increasing your odds as long as you're in the game walking. Because just you could put a blindfold on and eventually, in enough time, you will bump into a deer. It literally would happen. So when people tell me, they'll call me and I, because they know I do these, the mental game seminars across all the Northeast at the outdoor shows, they'll contact me and say, man, I'm beaten. I'm done. And I say, whoa, you're right on the verge of success. And they say, how do you know that? And I said, because it's the law of probabilities. As long as you're walking, as long as you're trying, as long as you're being persistent, even blindly, you will succeed. So you might be right at the point where success happens. And then when success tumbles, if you have put in the time and the effort to be persistent in challenging the benefits of drug use, if you're persistent enough, you will succeed at seeing it for what it is.
That's right.
But it's all about seeing it for what it is. It's not about white knuckling it. If you're white knuckling it, go get high, whatever. But challenge the perceived benefits when you're doing it. Be mindful, be persistent, like a dog with a bone, and just never quit asking the questions. We're not talking about white knuckling it. We're not talking about strength. We're talking about consistency in thought. There's a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. It's if I can just use Santa Claus for a minute.
That's such a great analogy.
Because you believed. There was a time you believed in that magic. Most people in the world believed in that magic at some point in their lives.
You were massively invested.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But you don't sit and wait for Santa Claus on Christmas Eve anymore.
And you don't say to yourself, oh God, I want to put out those cookies. I want to stay up all night. No, you don't do that. Because you have an understanding that changed.
Exactly. You have a different relationship with Santa Claus than you did when you were 6 years old. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about if you are consistent enough and you really pay attention. And one of the things I've seen with people that do the freedom model, and especially people that we've had in coaching, because we, you know, people we've had at the retreats and people now that we do coaching with, and because we kind of spread coaching out with these coaching packages, like once a week, you can see where sometimes people almost refuse to be mindful.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Because they don't want to see it. They start to see it. And then they're like, I'm not ready to see that.
Yeah. Or I'm just going to say some are lazy, flat out don't want to be mindful because they want us to fix them. And, within a session, I go, that's not going to work.
It'll never happen.
It'll never happen. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like mindlessly, both Mark and I are Catholic, so I'm not disparaging religion, but it's like mindlessly praying for something and sitting and waiting for it to happen. Yeah. You know, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. So this changing your mind about an activity or a substance requires your participation relentlessly.
That's right. That's right. Changing long-held beliefs is an interesting thing because everything, when you're thinking about changing a thought or a perception, it can happen all at once. And it does. Sometimes you see something very clearly.
Oh, yeah.
And it's shocking.
Well, that's what they call an epiphany.
Right. But epiphanies are rare because in order for an epiphany to happen, you have to have a full conversion of an idea. Mm-hmm. And it has to be seen like where you're seeing it here. And now you got to see it completely around a different way. And in order to get there, you have to have a real change in your mind. You have to change of mind, right? I'm changing my mind. So, but that requires understanding of the whole concept. Well, most concepts are multifaceted. So most beliefs aren't just something, you know, that is, you know, a cup that you can just turn
right.
around. It's deep. It's got emotional ties. It serves some function in your life. You think it provides a needed path to happiness. These are powerful ideas, these life concepts, especially the concept of quote unquote addiction. So, and there's so much bullshit with it. It's so confusing. And it's so confused with the brain centrist trying to tell you that you're biohacked and that your brain is in control. And there's so much mythology that needs to be unhooked. So in order to have that change in perception, to make an epiphany happen, to get you over the hump where you go, oh, I don't need this anymore, effortlessly. To get there, you have to look at each piece and go, wait a minute, that piece, that's bullshit. It didn't do that. This part, it didn't do that. I'm working with a guy right now, and it's really a lot of fun. He's got every myth in our book. He's arguing everything. And more.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so well read in bullshit that he doesn't even know it. Well, now he does because we've had two sessions. And already he's like, now he's rereading the book because he's like, my God, I don't think I really read it that clearly. Well, you didn't, you know, and all the information is there for you. But it's like extracting and looking at each piece of his disco ball that he's created a massive religion around his drug use.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, it's like, and 99% of it is basically what he read off of the web, which couldn't be worse. I mean, you want to learn how to get lost, go to the internet. They'll trap you.
Yeah. Even when you use AI and ask it about addiction, it pulls all of that misinformation.
Yeah.
That's you will get all of the propaganda that's designed to keep you trapped, to make you want to go on meds, to make you want to go to meetings every day for the rest of your life.
We've tested it, by the way, the AI, and it's hilarious.
Yeah.
But it's diabolically sad.
It is very, very sad. I was just thinking too about when somebody picks up our book and reads it, if you are so steeped in that mythology and your mind is somewhat open because you're like, I'm going to read this book. But when you're that steeped in mythology, you're still not reading the book for what it says.
That's so true.
You're
That's so true.
Coloring it with the beliefs that you already have, which is why we hear people that say, I've read it three times. Because every single time I'm learning something new, as I peel back another layer of my belief, and right back to your, you know, you're chipping away at that.
It was a cannonball.
A cannonball, you know, and you're revealing new parts of it. Then you go back and you look at the same information and it seems different.
Yeah, it really is exposing reality. So reality has a fundamental self-correction mechanism. And, you know, you could say the common cold doesn't exist, but you're going to get a cold, right? So it self-corrects.
Right. Reality, you can believe whatever you want, but the reality will creep in, right?
At some point. So the reality that the drug has not effectively solved your emotional problems or served you in some humanistic way is just reality. But recognizing it past what you've been told, and you have this massive confirmation bias where you'll look for red cars. If somebody tells you to look for red cars, right, you'll see red cars. So when you go on the internet and you read about all this stuff, there's so much half-truth mixed in with the propaganda that you'll find it and then you'll adopt the lie. And that's where pain comes from. Reality doesn't cause pain. Reality causes clarity and then problem solving to overcome pain. But mythology will always land you in an emotionally painful spot because you can only lie to yourself for so long before reality is counter to that. So you're constantly beating your head against something that's a myth and it's painful. And you're going, so then you double down on your mythology and it becomes even more painful. And then you read more on the internet and you're getting deeper and deeper. And we talk to people who have been doing this for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And they'll argue the points because it's their religion, because they're seeing red cars everywhere now.
Yeah.
Because they're so filled with the propaganda that they can't see that behind all of that is just a person who's thinking and choosing based on perceived needs. So the question becomes, to be persistent, do you want to be happy?
Yeah.
Do you want to have joy? Do you want to have peace of mind?
Well, you've been pretty persistent with your habit, even in the face of it not delivering what you want it to.
Oh, that's a great
right
point.
Like when you go down that road and I think about the last 6 months of my drinking,
ugh,
which were so horrific,
so lonely,
awfully lonely. I was violently ill almost every time I drank, but I stuck to it. And I got up and was running every morning, right? So I would be hungover. I'd get up and go running in the morning and feel like shit. But talk about persistence. So I think there are people that think, oh, I just can't do the persistence. Well, you can.
You certainly are persistent at your lifestyle.
Yes.
So some people mistaken persistence for action. Sometimes persistence is, I'm going to be persistent in remaining inactive, lazy, uncomfortable, but hoping to be comfortable,
right,
in some passive way. I'm persistent in making sure I don't change my views because they give me comfort. I'm persistent in remaining depressed because it's easier than the risk of taking on relationships and friendships and getting out of my own way. I'm persistent in my anxiety. I'm incredibly committed to seeing the world and the future as bad and sad and frightening. So people get committed to these things. And I say these things outwardly because I've had two suicide attempts in my past. I've been in jail. I've been in 18 months of rehab. I've done it all. So I can sit here and say that I was committed to a completely fucked up lifestyle and way of thinking, but I was highly committed, highly persistent. And I was an expert at being a screw up. So if this language offends you, I'm sorry, but the results of your life are the results of your thoughts. Now, there are obviously some things we have no control over and we are genuinely a victim of. That's not the stuff I'm talking about.
No.
I'm talking about after those events, how do you react to them? And how are you committed to fixing them or changing them or getting away from them or moving on from them? You know, I was beaten, hurt, neglected, raped, all kinds of bad things in my life. And some of that I was a victim of. But how I reacted and chose to be committed and persistent in destructive ways of dealing with it, that's on me. That's on me. This isn't some AA bullshit where they're saying, you know, look at your side of the street when you're raped. I mean, that's disgusting. That's not what we're talking about.
No,
don't
we
confuse
are not
this.
Even talking about that.
What we're talking about is getting command of your life, realizing there's probably a path away from those situations. And if not, if you're a child, sometimes you have to live through hell and just fucking grind it out like I did. I had no control over situations that were around me. But you know what's interesting? I did find outlets. I ended up out in the woods.
Too.
I ended up becoming an outdoorsman, an expert outdoorsman, because my home life was horrific. I ended up finding new families that I integrated with that were down the street that I ended up many decades later finding out they saw me as one of their sons, you know? And so it was, you will find a way to navigate your way through these things. But as an adult, you now have the option to have full command of your life and find that joy.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're looking for persistence, right? If you really want to solve a problem and I have seen people continue to struggle, but stay incredibly persistent, you will solve the problem.
Yeah, you will.
You really will. And it is a matter of, you know, for some people, becoming mindful is harder than others. It takes a tremendous amount of practice. For some people, deliberating, like figuring out, seeing the substance for what it is or the activity for exactly what it is, seems to be eluding them. I mean, there are different ways people struggle. In many cases, a lot of times it does come down to I'm hanging on to that mythology for some reason.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Sure.
So, and that we parse out a lot of times in coaching. I mean, quite frankly, we do.
Yeah. I think there's value in, let's say that you're somebody who doesn't do well at self-motivation. So you're dedicated to being lazy. I'm just going to call it what it is. Right? To staying the same because you're frightened of the hard work of changing. Well, I can tell you that if I was to coach you, I would give you very specific assignments that might speed up the process of you seeing the value of changing and making some efforts. So if you're the type of person that really is committed to the status quo, even though it's literally killing you, and you're just terrified, like I was, like she was. I mean, we ran it right up against the wall.
For sure.
So I'm not talking out of some lofty place here. I am on the other side with a very joyous and peace-filled life. But I wasn't there for many, many years. So if you're one of those people, get coaching. I can give you specific things. She can give you specific things. We can have a conversation, and in less than an hour and a half, we can give you specific things that you can work on to start the process where it's not painful. Now, I can't promise that realizing that many of the things that you hang on to emotionally are false or not productive or are false perceptions. I'm not saying that realizing that isn't painful sometimes. Letting go of Santa Claus can be painful.
That's for sure.
But I'll tell you this, the upside is immediate when you see it because you go, wait a minute. Now I don't have to put the cookies out every night. I don't have to put all my resources into that, you know, 24-pack of beer. I don't have to kill my liver. I don't have to lose my wife, you mean? No, if you do A, B, C, and D over the course of the next few weeks, you can literally walk out as long as you have an open mind and persistence. But persistence has to be put into something else. You are persistent. You are persistent in being who you are today. Now, you can be persistent in being a new person tomorrow, but that change, that you have to change the trajectory of your thoughts to do that.
Yeah.
And we can direct you through asking questions, and then you'll figure it out yourself. This isn't group therapy. This isn't some nonsense like that. You can also take the data sets in the Freedom Model Online program, the Solution to Addiction workshops for your various problems, and our books, our PDFs, our podcasts. We have
There's almost 2,000 videos on the YouTube channel. We add content every single day. I want to go back to the idea of lazy because it seems so judgmental and it's not.
No.
It's a commitment to inactivity.
It's commitment. It's persistence.
It is persistence. And I do remember, okay, I have been so utterly depressed at times in my life that I did nothing, that I sat and did nothing. And I am somebody that likes cleanliness. But at different points in my life when things have been at the worst, the most difficult, there have been times when I just did nothing and felt like I couldn't do something. So I'm not disparaging. I'm not saying that people's lives don't get there sometimes.
Yeah.
But if you go beyond, like I see memes that say, yeah, the shit can hit the fan and you can take a day and cry, sit, binge watch, you know, a show on Netflix all day, do nothing for a day, but don't unpack and live there. Because once you do that beyond that day, that's a commitment.
That's persistence.
That's persistence. To keep at some point, you know, you're going to get up and go do the shit that needs to be done. So if you make a conscious decision not to do that, or if you give in to that feeling of, I just can't do it, and you buy into that idea, because there's all the, if you look the internet for this kind of clinical depression and things like that, it's there for you. It's there for you. And you may find a little comfort in it for a little while. But eventually, reality always comes a knocking.
Yeah. The world is designed to force performance.
Yes.
Your body is the only mechanism in the universe that we know gets better with hard use.
Yes.
It gets better with hard use. Everything else, you break this cup, it's smashed. I mean, hard use is going to destroy it. So your spirit is the same way. People often ask me from a religious perspective, if God is all loving, why did he create such a tough, why does he hide? You know, and the answer is because we got hard shit to do.
Yeah.
You know, we were put here to do something and co-create the universe. I don't know what that even means, but I know that every day I get up and I get a choice. I get to choose either to address the things that are beating me up in some productive way and get instant gratification in doing that process. You don't have to put off. You're going to get instant gratification when you get up off that couch.
That's for sure.
You know, and if you've been sitting around depressed like I used to the point to where your body aches with inactivity, well, the pain of getting up is weakness leaving the body. It's depression leaving the body. And sometimes you've got to pay that price because that's just the way it is.
It is.
So the question becomes, what are you going to be persistent in? Are you going to be persistent in the status quo, or are you going to be persistent in seeking truth about yourself and how you live your life? And I think for me, I made that choice when I was 19 years old. I've had plenty of hard times. But I'm at the point where I've way exceeded what I thought was possible in my life.
Me too.
And so now I'm just like, anything is possible. I'm just going to go build the life I want. I do not give a shit. I don't care what people think. My whole life is on the internet. I talk about everything that's happened in my past with impunity. I don't care. And it's wonderful.
It is so freeing.
So you can all get there. Persistence in what? What are you going to be persistent at? Status quo or changing? That's up to you.
Exactly. And so do we want to do an update on my morning walks?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, what am I going to be persistent
at? Yeah. If you watched a previous podcast, She talked about this.
I did. In the last episode, we talked about changing a habit with less struggle. And my morning routine has stayed the same for a few years now, where I just stopped liking morning exercise. But there are real great benefits to it. And so I have since been working on changing my morning routine, and I figured out I can have both. If I get up early enough, which I was up this morning before 6, I can make my coffee. I can sit by myself and I can sip my coffee, but I'm dressed. And then I put on my socks. I make my husband breakfast, comes out and eats his breakfast. And then I go for my walk. And so I've done that now probably in the last week since the podcast 4 times where I've gotten up now. The weekend was in there, which makes it easier because I work from home on the weekends. So, but yeah, so I've been doing it. And the goal was I had to find my comfort. But here's the thing. I'm not an all or nothing chick anymore, which I used to be. Like if you miss one day,
yeah.
You're like, oh, forget about it, which is ridiculous. That's a ridiculous way of thinking. I don't know where, well, it's for some people, it comes from like 12-step programs. I think it was all or nothing, right? But I was that person where it seemed to be like, if I couldn't have a, you know, an hour workout and I wouldn't work out, that's just silly.
Right.
You know? So even the mornings when I was running a little late, I would rather do a mile walk than no walk at all. Right. But there are mornings I didn't walk because we've had a lot of rain. We had a hurricane in there. At one point, yeah. I did not walk in the hurricane. I did not do that. I don't stress about it because it's persistence.
That's right.
Right? It's persistence. I don't have to go every day to be persistent.
That's right.
And as you're solving a problem, you don't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. It can be, I will recognize when I'm making progress. I'll recognize when things are going better. I used to say this all the time in coaching. I haven't said it in a while. But you know, when somebody says, it's overwhelming, I can't do it. I always ask them, how do you eat a steak? How do you eat a steak? You don't shove the whole thing in your mouth at once, because obviously you choke and die. You cut it into small pieces. You eating a steak requires persistence. Right? It requires small bites.
Yes.
Small bites. And that's how, for some people and in some changes, that's what it requires.
So if you're on this trek right now where you're listening to this and you're going, where do I start? And you have some sort of quote unquote substance use addiction, sexual addiction, whatever it might be, get our Solution to Addiction workshop. What that will do is it will launch change, because it's 3 hours of your day, 2.5 hours about, and it's affordable and you get that, and it'll launch the ideas that we're talking about. Yeah. And we built it so that people could literally get on their phone, passively look, and it will start the ideas in your mind. And I guarantee it will. I guarantee it. When we do a coaching package, we now incorporate that workshop, and it's mandatory that you watch the workshop before you start with me or her.
Yep.
Because it sets up such a productive process. So that's a good starting point. Obviously the book, and obviously all our free content as well. But if you want to consolidate it into 3 hours, that's the fastest, most efficient way.
Yes. Hey, if you have a story you want to share with our audience about solving your problem, whether you use the Freedom Model or not, or maybe you are somebody that was like us, raised in AA, you became members yourself, you've left the cult, and you want to talk about that, we would love to have you on our show. All you need to do is contact us at info@thefreedommodel.org, or you can call us at 1-888-424-2626. If you're watching on YouTube, it's right in the corner, top corner of your screen. And yeah, we would love to hear from you. If you know people that are struggling, turn them on to our podcast. That's probably the number one way people find us now.
And YouTube.
Yeah, send them to our YouTube channel. And we have a Facebook, we have Facebook groups, the Freedom Model group, and
TikTok.
Well, and we also have a group that's specifically for PMO and sex addiction.
Yes,
now.
That's growing quickly.
Yep. And this podcast is coming out this week. Within 2 weeks, the new book for PMO and sex addiction will be uploaded into the workshop. So if you've already purchased the Solution to PMO and Sex Addiction workshop, you're going to get an email that says, hey, the book is available to you within the next 2 weeks. And, but if you don't have it yet and you've been waiting, now's the time to get the workshop, because it will be uploaded. It will only be available in the workshop. So because it's a package deal.
All right.
All right, everyone. And if you want us to talk about something that you haven't heard in a while,
give us topics.
Yeah, give us topics. And we always love to hear from our fans. Give us 5-star rating wherever you listen if you like this podcast.
All right, everybody.
Bye.
Take care.